Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Lisa tipped me off to a story published by my friends over at Michigan Public Radio. I've appeared on Michigan Public Radio many times. I know a bunch of people over there. It's a great organization. And Sarah Swiak wrote the story, and I could be mispronouncing her name, and I apologize. I don't know Sarah, although I do know other people at the organization. Michigan legislators introduced police reform bills. Police reform bills. We've talked a lot about things like civil asset forfeiture and so on, and whether or not they could pass bills that would fix some of this stuff. And so there's been a lot of stuff in the news lately about, you know, problems that the police have or the problems that people have with the police. And so some state house legislators in Michigan have proposed a package of bills that they say would bring transformational changes to the policing in Michigan. And it's 16 bills that they're proposing. And amongst these bills is pretty much everything we've talked about. Wide-ranging, as we say. The bills, among other things, would ban using chokeholds. They would ban no-knock warrants. They would require police to notify a minor's parent or guardian before questioning them. It would make police disciplinary records public. And it would prohibit volunteer law enforcement. And now, some of these things we've talked about, some of them not so much. And some of them, you know, I'm not sure that they have as high of a likelihood of passing as other ones. But for instance, the ban using chokeholds. It's difficult when you start getting into very, very specific things about how the police can handle somebody at the roadside or handle somebody they're arresting or trying to subdue. And a chokehold, among other things, it'd be hard to define. If you get up behind somebody and put your arm around their neck, we might consider that a chokehold. What if you got up behind them and put your arms around their chest? That's not a chokehold because it doesn't touch the neck. And then we start getting into definitions like, okay, at what point are they touching the neck? Are they touching the throat? What about the back of the neck? So I'm just talking as an attorney here. It'd be very, very difficult to define that. But then again, no-knock warrants. We've heard some crazy stories of people being hurt where the police have a warrant to go in and arrest somebody. And they're worried that if they knock, the person might run away or might hide some evidence or might try to defend themselves. So instead, they just bust down the door and yell something to the effect of, "Police, we have a warrant," as they bust the door down. And that puts people inside the dwelling in a situation where they've got literally a fraction of a second to figure out that those are the police busting the door down and not bad people. And so we've heard of things happening, and there have been incidents in Detroit and Michigan, as well as around the country, involving no-knock warrants. So that's something I think that, you know, could be addressed. Also requiring police to notify a minor's parent or guardian before questioning them. So your 12-year-old kid's out walking down the street, police pick your kid up, and they think your kid may or may not have done something, they're not really quite sure, and they start questioning your kid without you there. And they get your kid to say some stuff. Okay, your kid could be 16 years old or 14 years old, whatever. And the question is, shouldn't they notify the parents before they start talking to the kids? And I think that's a good one. Most adults know that if the police start asking you questions, you have the right to remain silent. I don't know if a minor was always going to know that these days. I don't know at what age they teach that in school. Do they teach that in school? I don't even know. Other bills would make police disciplinary records public. And that is something that a lot of people talked about, how often it is that a police officer can be in one jurisdiction and get in horrific trouble and resign and get hired someplace else. So over here, gets in trouble, resigns, goes someplace else. Or police officer gets in trouble, but it kind of goes away and they're still there. They get in trouble again. And people go, "Wait, I thought that officer got in trouble before, didn't they? Did they? Is that the same guy?" And then we had the story, for instance, out of Florida not too long ago. Police officer got suspended for like the seventh time. When they asked him, "How does it feel?" He goes, "Is this seven or eight? I'm not sure." He lost count. He'd been suspended so many times, he lost count. But he said he was confident he'd get unsuspended soon and go back to work. That's how things are. And one of the reasons I think that that happens is that this stuff doesn't see the light of day like it should. If more people saw what was happening with these disciplinary issues, I think there'd be more pressure for them to actually do something about it. So they would also prohibit volunteer law enforcement. I'm not sure how big of a problem that is these days. We've had some weird stories in Michigan with respect to volunteer law enforcement, particularly deputizing people. And there was a small town in mid-Michigan that would deputize you if you made a donation of some sort, apparently. And you'd get deputized, and they'd give you a badge. They'd give you a badge. And the badge was real. Now, it made you a deputy in that small town. And presumably, if that town ever needed help, they could call you and say, quick, we need a deputy. Come on up here. But these people were scattered all over the state, and most of them never been to that town. And what training are you giving people when you hand them a badge and say, congratulations, you're now a deputy? So I'm not sure if that's exactly what that's aimed at, but that's the kind of thing that makes me, you know, think I've heard this before. The representatives here were joined in their announcement by Tamika Palmer and Tawana Gordon, the mother and cousin of Breonna Taylor. Taylor was killed by police in Louisville, Kentucky, executing a drug-related no-knock warrant last year. Palmer said, warrants executed in the middle of the night are too dangerous to citizens and officers alike. No amount of drugs is ever worth taking the life of someone. It's necessary that we ban no-knock warrants so that no other parent has to receive the call that I received in the wee hours of the morning on March 13th, 2020. Representative Yancey said, we are not here today to reduce the number of percentages of police killings. We are here to save lives. Each and every person who lost their life at the hands of the police was a human being who deserved to be respected and protected. One bill in the package would get rid of qualified immunity. That legal concept limits police accountability and can be a hurdle to prosecuting police misconduct. Representative Brabeck from Pittsfield Township said eliminating qualified immunity is a practical and effective way to restore public trust in policing. And if you read the comments under any video I've done on qualified immunity, you will see that people overwhelmingly think that it should be abolished. And they think that since police know they can't get sued for what they do, they've got no disincentive. So Brabeck said, we cannot continue to ask the public to put their faith in an institution that regularly employs individuals who are not held accountable for their egregious conduct. We just can't do that anymore. So again, they have qualified immunity and they've got confidential disciplinary records. So those two things kind of mean the police are a little bit out of reach when it comes to, you know, getting in trouble for what they do. Police officials and their unions strongly oppose these bills, as you might imagine. But other parts of the 16-bill package have strong bipartisan support. But it's a question of whether they have enough to get it all the way through and make it into a law with all 16 bills. I highly doubt that it happened. It would be very, very difficult to introduce 16 bills on anything and get them all the way through. Now, there is a companion package of police reform bills currently in the works in the Michigan Senate. So our government here is a parallel of the federal in that we've got an executive, we have a Senate, we have a House of Representatives, and what has to happen is a package of bills will be at one side, get approved, go to the other side. If they approved without any changes, it would get sent to the governor for signature. But of course, if they each have their own packages and they both pass, then they'd have to somewhere down the line get together and get these to conform into a single thing that both sides could agree on to pass and then send it up. And so, you know, it would require some bipartisan support and the governor would have to sign it. And, you know, there's no guarantees that any of that's going to happen. But what I like about this, okay, what I like about this is I remember starting doing videos 7 years ago. I started doing videos. And I remember first talking about civil asset forfeiture and first talking about qualified immunity. And some of these things were known to some people, but were not widely known. And I don't know if they were being talked about as much back then as they are today. I don't think they were. I mean, that's just my opinion, but it seems that way. And I think that as we go along and draw more attention to these issues, as more people become aware of them, I think people are now saying, hey, look, you know, we need to resolve some of these issues. Civil asset forfeiture, which, by the way, isn't mentioned here, is something that a lot of people are now agitating about and saying that should be resolved. But these other issues, you know, things like whether you notify a minor's parent or guardian before questioning them or, you know, banning a no-knock warrant, those are things that had popped up in the news lately, and people have said, why do we do that? Why do we allow that? Maybe we should change that. So these bills might end up going nowhere. They might. They might end up going nowhere. It's still good that someone tried, and it's still good that they were brought up. I'm hopeful they pass. And I'm going to encourage everyone to follow this, especially if you're in Michigan, follow this and see how these things do. And if you have the opportunity to contact your legislator, contact them and let them know what you think about this. Maybe if they get enough agitation behind this, maybe they'll pass some of these bills. Maybe they'll pass all of them. Who knows? But my point simply is that the introduction of the bill package in and of itself is a pretty big deal. It's a step in the right direction. So whether they'll pass or not, I don't know. But it's still a good thing that Michigan legislators have introduced police reform bills. And Lisa sent it. Michigan Public Radio published it. Sarah Swick wrote it. Thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. You know more of a road by having traveled it than by all the conjectures and descriptions in the world.